Greetings and welcome back to the OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom. We are now studying the second book of Samuel, Shmuel Bet, and we are about to begin Perek Bet, which picks up after David's dirge for Shaul and Yonatan, Kinala David. There's a beautiful allusion here, Vaish'al, reference to Shaul almost. So after David heard about Shaul's death and mourned him, David then asked God, "Shall I go up to one of the cities of Yehuda?" And God said, "You should go up." We assume here that David was asking through the devices of Eviatar and his ephod. David said, "To which city should I go?" And Hashem's answer was Hebron. This is the first and evidently the only time that we have record of Hashem giving a definitive answer as opposed to a yes or no answer being asked of the Ephod. His answer is to go to Hebron, and Hebron, as we to some extent saw and what we'll see later on, is a very central city. It really is the capital city of Shevet Yehuda. And David, of course, has been building up his constituency among his tribesmen in Yehuda, and the loyalty of many of the people that he protected. Witness the story of Naval. Vayal Sham David v'gam Shtein Ashav. Again, we're told their names: Achinom ha-Yisraelit, Avigail Eshet Naval ha-Karmeli. Again, the assumption is that we're being presented with their names to show us how David has conquered his enemies. Shaul's wife's name is also Achinom, and of course Avigail, again, is presented here as the wife of Naval. So now David's men, who up until now were revolutionaries, were guerrillas, were desperados, now are part of the up-and-coming establishment. And David brought them with him, with their families, and they settled in the cities around Hebron. And so here we see that there is a localized monarchy that begins. The leaders of Yehuda came to Hebron and anointed David to become the Melech, the king over Beit Yehuda. And then the first thing that David found out as this tribal king was that the people of Yavesh Gilad were coming. These are the people of Yavesh Gilad who had taken care of Shaul after his death, we read about at the end of Perek Lamed Aleph. So David sent messengers to them. He blessed them, because their biggest fear would be, we were helpful and had concern for the dignity of the fallen king, and now his successor, who from their perspective perhaps even ousted him, will now take revenge. David said, "No, you are blessed to God. You did this kindness with your master, with Shaul." Notice he doesn't refer to him here as Mashiach Hashem, but rather by name, and you buried him. So God should now do kindness with you. Chesed v'emet is what we call a hendiadys. It's two nouns where really the second noun is the an adjective, a modifier, a truthful chesed. And I will also do kindness with you. And evidently the kindness is, of course, I'm not going to exact any revenge or disfavor you. Now you should be strong. Your master Shaul has died. And now Beit Yehuda has anointed me as their king. Notice, he's just talking about Yehuda, not as Israel. So he's supporting them and saying, also be aware of where I am. And in the meantime, we now find out what has happened with the remnants of Shaul's monarchy. It's not as we might have assumed that the minute Shaul died, everybody came rushing to David and said, "We've been waiting for you." Rather, Avner ben Ner Sar Tzava Shel Shaul Lakachet Ish Boshet ben Shaul. We now hear about a fourth son of Shaul that we didn't know about before. And that may be because the text wanted to consistently highlight the association of the number three with Shaul. One wife, three sons, Yonatan, Avner, and Avinadav, and Malkishua. But really, he has at least a fourth son, whose name is, his proper name is really not Ish Boshet. His name is Eshbal, as we find out in Divrei Yamim. He's called Ishbosheth because in the times of Sefer Shmuel, the worship of the Baal is a shameful thing, and anyone who names the child that way, the text modifies it by calling it Beshet or Boshet, shame. That's Ishbosheth. But the real name is Ishbaal. You can wonder, of course, why Shaul named his son that, and that's quite a good question. But that is what his name is. We find out later that Yerubbaal, Gideon's other name, in a few chapters we will read him as being referred to as Yerubbeshet also. And in any case, Avner, who was Shaul's chief of staff and evidently still felt loyalty to the family, which is his own family, took Ishbosheth. He took him across to the other side of the Jordan to Machanaim, a location that we're familiar with from Yaakov's return to Eretz Yisrael, a location that we will become all too familiar with later on in Shmuel Bet when David flees. And he officially announced that this Ishbosheth was the king over the whole north, basically. Now remember, he's on the other side of the Jordan. And he's something of a remote control king, a king in absentia, but nonetheless, that's the official position. And what happens? And here we get a normal type of biography of a king. He's 40 years when he became king. And for 2 years he ruled. So the northern kingdom, the northern tribes supported him, but Beit Yehuda, the southern tribe, followed David. And now, from a perspective of after the fact, we find out that David ruled in Hebron for 7 years and a half. And so now Avner took some of his soldiers to go towards Givon, which is still in Benjamin territory, but is now closer to where David is. And now we meet a character who will be very central in this sefer, Yoav ben Tsruya. Remember, we met his brother Avishai ben Tsruya, a cousin of David. V'avdei David yatsu. They went out. V'ifkashum al brechat Givon. They met them at a pool. Yachdav eishu ela al brechah mizeh ve'ela al brechah mizeh. So the two groups sat opposite each other on opposite sides of this pool. V'yom Avner el Yoav. So Avner said to Yoav, who was somewhat of his opposite number, let the boys get up and entertain us. Now, Yisachaku lefanenu evokes for us an image of Shimshon, who is teased by his captors, the Plishtim, when he's blind already, and they say, let him get up and dance in front of us. But here, it's, let the boys entertain us, and this is a reference to some sort of a wrestling match. And what happened? So 12 of them got up from each side and they grappled with each other. Each guy grabbed onto the other fellow's head. And he had a sword out. So this was wrestling, but wrestling with definitely a sharp edge to it. Pun intended. They all fell together. Asher beGivon. So this place got known as Chalkat HaTzurim, the portion of the rocks of the Tzurim, but it may also be from Tzarim, the ones who were warring with each other. V'atim Mechama Kashad Meod Bayomahu. This goes from a wrestling match or games to what is now called a war. It's a very hard war. V'inagif Avner Manchei Yisrael Lifnei Avdei David. And David's men had the upper hand. Who was there? Three of Tsruya's sons. Yoav, who we just met. Avishai, who we met back in Perak Chavav. And Asael, who we're meeting now. A little bit late. And it's important to note that Asael was fleet like a deer. He was very fast on his feet. And that will be part of this story upcoming. Now Avner and his men evidently fled, so Asael chased Avner. And he didn't go to the right or the left, he stayed right on the path behind Avner. So Avner followed him and said, Are you Asael? And Asael said, yeah, that's me. Avner and Atelacha Alimincha Awal Smolecha. And so Avner said to him, go to the right or the left. In other words, go somewhere else, chase someone else. Go grab one of the other boys. Grab his uniform. And Asael chose not to do so. In other words, Avner was basically saying, listen, you're not in this league. Go wrestle with somebody who's your peer. And, you know, see if you can defeat him and get his uniform, which was sort of a sign, a trophy sign. Something you read about in Shimshon, in Shoftim Perek Yudalad, when Shimshon went off at the end of the Perek and killed 30 men and brought back their suits as part of the bet for the riddle at his wedding. And so he told him to go. Vayosef Avner Lemor El Sael Sur Lacha Me'acharai. He told him again, get away from me. Lama Akeka Artsa. Why should I kill you? In other words, he's saying it's obvious I'm going to kill you if it's you against me. Go away and fight somebody else. And what's his reason for not wanting to kill him? Ve'ech Esafanal Yoav Achicha. How can I face Yoav, your brother? Vayma'in Lasur. And Asael refused to move away. Vayaku Avner Be'acharai HaChanit El Achomesh. So Avner took the back of the lance and stabbed it through his chest, and we will see this plays out again in Avner's life in an opposite way. And the spear came out from his back. He fell there and he died there. You have to read that sentence properly. Anyone who came to the place where Asael fell and died, they stood there and saw. So his two brothers, Yoav and Avishai, now chased Avner to take exact revenge. Vashemesh ba, the sun was setting. So they were near this area outside of Givon. So now all of the Binyaminites got behind Avner, and they're one group standing. And they stood at the top of one hill. And so now Avner wants to stop this. He killed Asael, and perhaps he felt he was justified. In the meantime, now all-out war is going to break out as a result. And Avner and his men are up on top of a hill. And again, as we saw when David called to Shaul from the top of a hill, echoing, of course, Yotam calling to Avimelech from the top of a hill, as I talked several times. Here we have... Avner calling to Yoav from the top of the hill, almost responding to David's call. Vayikra Avner al Yoav vayomer halanetzach tocha cherev. Are we going to fight forever? Basically, will the sword devour forever? Haloya data kimaratia ba'achrona. You know that it's going to be a bitter end. Vanmatailo tomar la'am lashuv me'acharei acheihem. How long are you going to wait till you tell me to go back home? In other words, he's calling for a ceasefire. Vayomer Yoav chaya Elohim kilulei dibarta. And so Yoav says, he takes an oath, and he said, if you had you not spoken up, because, you know, had you not spoken, we would have continued fighting. So Yoav then sounded the shofar, sounded the shofar, that was the end of war, but he went home. So they walked all night, they evidently didn't trust Yoav. They walked all night. They crossed the Ardain, and they went through the whole area and got to Machanaim. And Yoav, in the meantime, followed him. And they counted how many they had lost, and lost 19 men plus Asael. This reminds us a little bit of Yonatan. And Yonatan's first attack in Perek Yudalad and Shmuel Aleph, when he killed 20 Plishtim within a small area. Again, here 20 men died at the hands of the family of Shaul. But in the meantime, Shaul's men lost, or Binyamin lost 360 men. They took Asael and buried him in his father's grave. His father's catacomb in Beit Lechem. And they walked all night also, and they ended up in Chevron at morning. This brings us to the end of Perek Bet. Perek Gimel will be a seminal chapter where things will change in the alliances that we read about so far, and we will move there forthwith in the next podcast. as we will find Avner attempting to meet with David, or meeting with David and attempting to bring unity and to create a true cessation of arms, but it doesn't necessarily work immediately. Everybody should have a wonderful day.